Family back with us. We missed you guys. And we're glad you went away and had a great time, but your presence is very much missed when you're away. The mum and dad of the place. How do you feel about that? The dad and the mum. Well, you've been that way for a long time, actually. But it's great. And there's a privilege. Hey, listen, where's that young lady who got healed? I think it's good. We'll do this probably every night, what I'm taking anyway. She whipped out for a smoke or something. Where is she? Why do people leave the meeting just because you take your seats? I can never figure it out. Well, someone go and get her. It's time to testify that our God healed her with medical reports. Quite a phenomenal. Anyway, we'll get onto that later. Maybe some people just need to go to the bathroom. I don't know. But anyhow, maybe we should put... No, I won't say that. That's silly. But the power of God's here tonight. I got a great message for tonight about the price of revival, but it's not a heavy message like you think. It's what is happening here and what price are we actually paying. It's not just in prayer, but what do we actually... What price is there in revival? What does God do? What's happening? And it's good as we're going along, we just got to understand what the power of God is all about. And what the revival's all about. Otherwise, if we don't talk about it, it just becomes a series of meetings that eventually everybody gets pretty sick of. But there's a lot of great things happening. There really is. And she still ain't here. If she went home, I will love her. That's good. How many have had a great week? Yeah. Well, that's good. Vaughn and Wendy have. They've been cruising on a ship. That's marvelous, isn't it? Maybe I'll go on a ship. I don't know. That'd have to be a miracle. But I'll get there. It'd be good. I'll go on one of those little toy boats. I was around at David's looking at his big yacht he's building. Do you call it a yacht or is that a ship? I don't know what it is. It's huge. That's all I know. Thank you. You ducked out of the meeting at the wrong time, or I spoke at the wrong time, one of the two. Tell us about what happened to you the other night. It's fantastic.
Well, as most of you know, that I've been going through a struggle with my health, and Sunday night completely broke me, and I realized that I can't keep holding back on God. And I couldn't keep fighting him for everything that I wanted, and I realized that I wasn't going to have healing unless I gave over to God and finally just gave everything to him. And I'm sitting here Sunday, and I was pounding on the ground saying, Lord, if you don't break me, I'm going to shatter myself. And Monday morning, I woke up and I could feel it in me, like the ripping through my heart and through my whole body. And the doctors called and said that all my tests are 100% negative for everything. I had stage 3 Lyme disease that was eating away around the muscle of my heart. It destroyed my... in large intestine, I went from running 5 miles a day to not being able to walk down the hallway from my bathroom. Had to give up my apartment for it. And then they were also testing for MS and fibromyalgia on top of that, which I tested positive for both of them, but now it is negative. But through it all, it made me realize that no matter how much you push and push, it's not worth it without God.
She's telling the absolute truth, not that she wouldn't, but I've seen the medical reports myself of the before x-rays and after, and the doctor's comments before and after. One, she definitely had all those things you just said, and the next was, it's gone. And obviously, more professional words than that, but that's basically what it was. So that's a real miracle. Let's give God another praise, because that's... Now, when miracles like that start happening, believe me, from past, you have got to get the medical report. So if anybody gets, say they get healed of cancer or something like that, if I ask you to go and get the medical proof, it's not that we don't trust you, but if miracles like this start to happen all the time, which they will, it won't be long before the media will get a hold of it, and the first thing they'll do is check to see if what we're saying is true. You've got to have the medical reports. I've been stuck before with people telling me they're healed of all sorts of things and found out they're faking it, or it wasn't quite true or exaggerated. And it puts a damper on the ministry. And so if you got the medical reports, facts, doesn't matter what they say, proof's in the pudding, hey. So that's great. So if you're sick in your body, reach out to God. Just reach out to him. I mean, She had to obviously have things broken in her heart for the miracle to happen. She did, and then bang, you know. And it's just an amazing God. He's a God who heals. And I honestly believe this next phase is great signs, wonders, and miracles. And that's what's going to bring the unsaved in by the tons, and that's what's going to fill this place up. I'm telling you, we'll have to put on more meetings. It won't mean that we're all coming to every night. We'll probably just pick and choose one or two a night. But there'll be a different crowd. We won't be able to contain it, or we've got to get a stadium or something, which I don't think there's any around here. But there's a good anointing. We've spent a lot of time building the anointing in this place. Let's not move out until, well, God speaks to this gentleman over here and tells him to. I mean, why not? It's a good building. You could probably squeeze, I reckon, actually 300 you could fit in here if you had to. Fit another 50 downstairs. Put a big television screen out in the car park. Fit another 300 out there. Who cares, you know? Middle of winter, sitting out there. We'll soon see if they want revival. Now, that's silly. That's silly talk. But it's good. And amazing. I'm so full of something tonight, I just don't know what to do. I do know exactly what to do. But I'm just trying to talk and be normal for a few seconds. I'm going to hand it over to Vaughan, Reverend Dr. Vaughan, in a moment. And he's very good at talking, and he's very good at taking offerings. One of the best I know, actually, taking offerings. I thought I was pretty good, but he always outdoes me. So as soon as that's my offering, if I get more, that's great. Tell you what, take $10,000. I'll share half of it with you. How's that? I'm just joking, friends. Sort of, you know. Well, let's give Vaughan a hand as he comes.
Praise God. Praise God. Well, I know it sounds strange, but it really is wonderful to be back. You know, when you're on a ship with 5,000 people, this expression, we're all in the same boat, well, it's really not true, because on those huge cruise liners, you can be up the top deck by the pool bar and there can be 1,000 people partying. Or you can be down on deck 5, and Wendy and I, we went down there one day, didn't we, just completely on our own. We were the only two there. And there was a little shuffleboard game, if you know what that is. And I want to say the same thing about any move of God. Is in any move of God, we are, as per se, not all in the same boat. We could all be in the same room and yet be miles apart. We could all be in the same room and some experiencing the greatness of God and others being heartbroken, lonely, sad, downcast. And what they need is obviously what we always need, is a touch from God. But sometimes some people don't know how to get a touch from God. They need a touch from godly people. So what I want to say tonight is how important it is for us to realize that if you want to be raised up in God, then you must be given to hospitality. Hospitality is part of who God is. God is a hospitable God. He loves people. He loves to party. He loves to embrace people. When his son comes home, he kills a fatted calf and throws a party. He invites everybody. He wants you to be there. He wants you to be part of it. He wants you to embrace it. And I want to say this to all those who've been coming here now for all these weeks and months that we've been knowing and feeling the presence of God, is who are you sharing it with? Who are you touching? It's not enough for us to just say, because so many of these young men and women have been doing such an excellent job in going out in the streets. But when they come in this room, when they come in this building, are you touching people? And if you're not, then it's time for you to be told you do greatly err. You must touch people. I remember when I first got saved, I got saved at 29 years old. I knew nothing of church etiquette. I knew nothing of what it meant to go to church. I didn't understand what going to church meant. Now, I think here we're reasonably easy with the way we dress and the way we do things. But I remember being in a church. It was Wendy and I went away for the weekend. We went down to the coast somewhere in England. And we went in this, I don't know what denomination it was. And I remember I was wearing jeans because, you know, that's kind of all people wore then and now. Fashion hasn't changed much, as you think it has. You all still look a... Anyway. And I remember someone going... Have you ever had a... Have you ever been to church and somebody's given you a... You know, that can put you off going to church for the rest of your life. It was only because I was so hungry that their attitude towards me couldn't change. But obviously, I would have never gone back to that church. So therefore, I was hungry. I was one of the hungriest people probably anywhere in the world, or certainly one of them, but I would have never gone back to that church. So therefore, we need to remember that when hungry people come in this place, they need to be touched by godly people. Amen. On their way to being touched by God. So I'm going to say this because whether you think it or not, people are cliquey. Do you want to know what a clique is? Do you know how to spell it? Anyway, it's not what a CK. And I'm saying that because it's essential that we stop just sticking with the people that we come. We stop sticking with our family. That we stop that. We mustn't do that. We must make every effort. And if you're a lonely person, then all the more reason for you to go out and reach out to somebody. And don't just go out, young guys, to young girls. In fact, stop that immediately. Did you hear that? So I want to make sure that I see you folks circulating, going around, touching people, showing them around, making sure they know where the tea, the coffee, the bathrooms, the refreshments, that they know where everything is. It's essential. You've got to do these things. It's not my job to do it anymore. I've done it for too many years. How many of you went around tonight and shook hands with strangers before you came to the front? Other than me. Thanks. That's two of us. You have been told. All you got to do is go around and shake hands, say hi. My name's, that's all. I want to encourage you. We met many people on the ship who were lonely people. They went there because they're looking for something that they could afford to go on a reasonable holiday, a vacation, but they're going there because they feel they're missing out in life. Obviously, a cruise is not going to be any answer to your life like anything else. But the reality is I'm glad that we were a family that were able to reach out and touch people. It's very important. Wherever we sat, wherever we went, we made sure that we included who was ever around us. One little point, just out of by the by, you know, we just came back from Israel. There were five Israelis on the ship. Now, the 5,000 people on the ship, five Israelis. Of course, I sat next to all five of them. In fact, we even sang to them one night after dinner. Wendy and I started singing Israeli songs to these people. And they were greatly touched and very ministered too. But I want to say this because, you know, you're a stranger as long as people don't reach out and touch you. And not everybody is an extrovert. I mean, it's easy for me to circulate, talk to people. It's the easiest thing in the world for me and all of my family. But the thing is, a lot of people, they need to be reached and touched. Are we okay with that? One of the greatest ways that we can reach and touch people is with our generosity. How can you say, I love you, unless there is something behind those words? I think the word love is the most shallow word in the English language. I think we use it and we throw it around with such a flippant attitude that we need to be very careful about these things. You all know I love rugby and I love curry. And I love God. We just have to make sure I remember which order. And so therefore, these words, these strange words we use, that's why I actually don't use the word very often. I only say it when I mean it. Because I find the word is overused. And the fact that our lives need to become a testimony. The scripture says we must speak as the oracles of God. And when we speak, our words must have a presence with them. And one way to speak as the oracles of God is weigh your words. Measure your words. The Bible says you will be judged for every idle word that comes out of your mouth. And therefore, it's important for us to allow these words to have substance to them so that when we speak, the people we're speaking to can sense something, discern something. They may not have the discernment that we have being soaking in the presence of God for the last 4 months, but everybody has some kind of discernment, some kind of feeling, whether they're loved or they're unloved, wanted or unwanted, accepted or unaccepted, inquiring about whether their sin is going to be accepted here until they give it to God. It's not our job or our purpose to be able to point out people's sin. It is our purpose to point out that there is a forgiving God and he came in the form of Jesus Christ, the lover of our souls. So I just want to encourage you all that hospitality is an extremely, extremely important thing. That's just all I've got to say about that.
Well, it's wonderful to be back in the presence of God. It's great to go away, but I was really kind of missing out being here and soaking and sitting in the presence of the Lord. So that's why I'm so thankful to be back here tonight. And praise God, you know, when we get in that worship anointing, just ask the Lord to show you by the Spirit where he wants you to go, like I did tonight. I was really basking in the glory, and I said, Lord, I want to see something. I want to just be able to share with the people, and that's why he gave me that vision. But I'm nothing special. All of you can have those great visions and revelations from the Lord, and you just only just got to ask him.
Yeah, it's true.
It's very simple. And it was really great because we know about the river of God, and there was the river of fire, and then like the blood of Jesus, and that sounds kind of gross to really get into that, into the blood of Jesus, but it was really like the anointing oil, and it was warm, and it was soothing, and it was really great. And then you come into that glory realm where there's the glory flakes are like snowflakes, and the great presence of God, the beauty of Jesus. So praise God, that's available for all of us. It really is.
Amen. So I just want to encourage all of you. Generosity, my favorite scripture. It's only in the New King James, so you'll have to give us a little license in that. Isaiah 38, I believe. It says this: a generous man devises generous things, and by generosity he shall stand. A generous man devises generous things, and by generosity he shall stand. I need you to hear this verse, not be reading something else. Standing is the end time and all time greatest form of spiritual warfare. Did you hear what I just said? I went to the gym today and I watched a wildlife program on lions. I just like those programs. You like those programs? And there was this old lion. He would have probably been about 60 in July. And there were these two young lions challenging him. And as it happened, the commentator said, the only thing this lion can do is he knows for his family, for his children, he's going to have to stand and fight. And it's one thing that most people don't understand is the scripture says in Ephesians, having done all, stand. Stand, therefore, and the reality is a generous man, hear me, saints, devises, thinks about, schemes, generous things. And by generosity, he shall stand. One of the reasons I know that you've heard me say when I used to talk about basketball that I'm not that good, but I'm hard to beat. Do you know the difference? See, Christians don't have to be good, but they have to be hard to beat. And the way to be hard to beat is to stand. Having done all, stand. And that's why I want to encourage all of you, don't ever let go of that reality. There is such a truth in the warfare of generosity. How do you think you're going to stand in the last days? What happens if the Bible's literal? What happens if there really is a mark of the beast? Now, I don't think it's duh, six. Not at all. But what if it is a chip that's inserted in the body? What if it is something you can't buy or sell unless you kowtow to it? Can you hear me? All right, let me say it again. A generous man devises generous things. And by generosity, he shall stand. Now, in the last days, when things fall, I'll be standing. In the last days, when people flee, I'll be standing. Think I'll be standing because I'm brilliant or tough? No, but because I've learned how to stand. And the greatest way to stand is by generosity. Yeah. I got an email from my buddy Jeff over there with Overland Missions, the Rural Pastors Network. He's in charge of that, director of that. And he just asked for a simple thing in his newsletter, a GPS. $350. I said, I can do that. I can do that. Because I think an African a director of rural network in Zambia needs a GPS. It was only $350. I thought, that's easy. I just emailed him today and said, I can do that. It's not a big thing, but I devised a way to be generous today. Can you hear me today? I devised a way to be generous. Generosity is essential. So tonight, bear that truth in mind, that tonight we're going to be generous to Steve and to his wife and to his family. And I want all of you to bear in mind, young people, listen to me. It's, I mean, almost a certainty that your lives will see the days of the mark of the beast. And however that comes, and whatever turmoil comes in these last days. And you've got to learn to stand. And you've got to train yourself now, not then. It's too late to train yourself then. Train now. So let's tonight be generous. Let's be a blessing to Steve. And we thank God for King's Fire International that we're now official and formal, and all kinds of bank accounts have been opened in that name. Hallelujah. And so we want to bless each and every one of you, appreciate your generosity, and let's all just give thanks right now. Let's close our eyes and let's just see.
Just take a moment to close your eyes, and we'll just wait on the Holy Spirit a few minutes just to hear his voice so you can know how much to give. That figure that's coming in right now, yes, that's from the Lord. You be obedient to that now. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you now, Lord, for your good gifts that you give unto each and every one of us. Lord, we want to give our good gifts tonight, Lord. We want to sow into good ground. And I know that Steve and his family are good ground that we can sow into tonight. Father, bless these gifts. Bless the givers, Lord, in Jesus' name as they sow into the ministry. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you as you give. We're the ushers. Thanks very much. Don't forget, write your checks out to King's Fire International, KFI. Hallelujah. Appreciate each and every one of you.
And you know what's really great about being generous? You can do it in the not only in your finances, in money, but in so many small ways. You can be a generous person. You know, you can buy lunch for your work, your friend at work. You can buy them a cup of coffee. You can offer a single mom to babysit. That's giving of your time. Yeah. There's so many ways. You can give a pair of shoes away. If somebody says, hey, I like that sweater that you're wearing, say, sure, here you are. Take it off and give it to them. You could be generous in so many ways.
Amen. Well, thanks, everybody, for your blessings. Remember, the blessing of the Lord does what? I said, the blessing of the Lord does what? Wow, that's lame. Hey, do me a favor. Next time you come to church, sit somewhere else, will you? You're getting really stuck in a rut, some of you. Every time I look up and go, oh, there you are again. Oh, there you are again. Oh, there you are again. For like... So next time you come, sit somewhere different and be friendly. Are we ready? How are we doing, everybody? Don't forget, oh, while I remember, July the 24th to the 31st, EMT. So that's entry mission training. It's going to be a wonderful conference, and you need to get time off work, and of course you'll be off school, so that'll be easy for you. The first weekend, we know that Dr. Leon will be here. Philip will be coming, Philip Smethers. You all need to meet Philip Smethers. If you haven't met Philip yet, you need to meet him. Leon's coming back. Mike Petz is going to be here. It's going to be a wonderful time. Steve and I will be ministering. I don't know what I'll be doing, but we know we're going to just... It's just going to be carry on, and it's just going to have... All apostolic ministry is going to be here. July the 24th to the 31st. It's an essential time. Clear your calendar. Because really some awesome men of God are going to be here. And just want to invite all of you to come, and you'll be blessed. Shalom. Stephen.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Vaughan. It's good to have you back, man. It really is. It's good. Keep believing God for these means to increase. Last Sunday night, who was here last Sunday night? It was wild. There's around about just, there's over 150 odd people here on Sunday night, and it was, everything was happening, from throwing cloths to throwing jackets to, but it wasn't just that. It was just manifestation of the Holy Ghost and people getting touched quite powerfully, incredibly powerfully, actually. And, you know, and so, but we don't have to wait till the weekend builds up and everyone decides to come Sunday night. We can believe God. I'm building in my spirit every morning now in the prayer meetings. We hear from Tuesday to Fridays for a couple of hours. I'm just building in the spirit 150 Friday nights, 150 Saturday nights, Sunday morning, a couple of hundred, whatever you normally get. 150 Saturday. Why? Because that's what I want to see. And what you see when you're building your spirit, we'll start to hit it pretty soon. But if you can believe God with me, because there's heaps of people getting saved on the streets now. We've got street evangelism going on. There's a lot of action happening behind the scenes. And there's just on 33 or 35 first-time visitors here alone last Sunday night. So we've got to keep moving for that. I'm believing for 60 visitors to be here between tonight and Sunday night. That's what I'm believing for. And if you don't believe for it, nothing will happen. And so let's do that. Let's not just see a good amount of people here tonight, but then suddenly Sunday night is, you know, it looks full. Let's just believe God is going to fill this thing. Why? Because God's into numbers. He wrote a whole book called Numbers. I'm a great believer in numbers, but I'm also a great believer in quality as well, in character, in Christ, and all that sort of thing. Is that you, Jerry, down the back there? We've got Jerry, Pastor Jerry Burberry, a great friend. Well, come on, man, come and sit down the front. You can't have you sitting down the back. He doesn't. You give him a welcome. He's a great man, this guy. He pastors a good church in Elmira, and he's also an evangelist. Goes around the place evangelizing, got a good touch of God in his life, and he's also the one that's instrumental in leading Cher to the Lord and discipled her under his ministry for the first 5 years. So thank you for training her for me. That's very good, Jerry. You shaved your beard off. Wow. Yeah. And it's good to see you, man. Thanks for coming tonight. Where'd you come from, Elmira, tonight? What's that, about 3 hours? Wow, it's good. Bless you, man, for coming. Well, I'm going to talk about the price of revival tonight, and I don't know how much I'll get through it, because the Lord's been telling me as I preach now, I've got to demonstrate as I'm preaching, not waffle on for three-quarters of an hour, then minister. Oh, well, there's Chris. Fat lot of good he was singing tonight. Sings for a while and falls under the power. Well, that's good. At least he's open to the Holy Ghost, hey? That's a good thing. And, yeah, my eyes are wandering. I'm looking for someone. Can we get any more brightness in here? It's so dark up here. Or is it just me? Am I going blind or something? I like to see eyeballs of people. Is it? But never mind. I suppose that's all right. And, yeah, if somebody can get up there. I don't know why sound people suddenly go. Never mind. If somebody can, do you know how to do? Oh, I don't know where anybody's gone. If you're all downstairs, get up here for God's sake. Gosh, that's better. Thank you. Is that you up there, Sarah? Good on you. Takes a Gerald to get it done. Thank you. It's true. But you're all great people. We appreciate everybody here, but sometimes a Friday, Sunday nights aren't. Anyway, don't worry about it. Price of revival. Now, let's have a look at this price, because the definition of revival, we'll go over it real quickly, is the act or the instance of reviving. That's pretty normal. The condition of being revived. A restoration to use, acceptance, activity, or vigor after a period of obscurity. That's what revival's all about, where he reinvigorates and revives something that used to be, like the book of Acts, that's no longer here, and suddenly we start to see signs of it again. It's a time of reawakening in the things of God, in the power of God. That's what the revival's purpose is, to awaken us to God again in his power and glory. It's falling in love with Jesus all over again. It's a new beginning of obedience to God. And in reality, that's what revival is all about. Now, what I'm going to do is look at an acronym of the word price. So just imagine the word price, P-R-I-C-E, and I'm just going to go that way, which is called an acronym, and look at what the price of revival is. Now, the price of revival is number one, P, price, is persistence. Yeah. If we're going to see revival, we've got to be persistent. Amen. See, the act of persisting, that's what persistence means. It's the state or quality of being persistent. You look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 21. It says, she said to herself, If I can only touch his cloak, I will be healed. Now that's persistence. This is talking, of course, about the woman with the issue of blood. And there's a great crowd of people there. She'd spent all that she had for the last 12 years or so amongst physicians and grew worse. And that must be a horrible thing to be perpetually bleeding 24 hours a day. This is the problem she suffered for, I think it was 12 years. And she sees the master come by her way. And she says to herself, I don't need to speak to him. If I can just touch the hem of his garment and the long outer cloak they used to wear in those days, if I can just touch it, which means she was probably crawling on her hands and knees. Otherwise, why would it say touching the hem of his garment? It would have said touching his top part of his body or something. If I can only touch his cloak, I will be healed. And her persistence, immediately Jesus felt power flowing out of him and she was instantly healed. Just like that. Persistence is the key and the gateway to the miraculous. It's been persistent. And we'll start to see it. Same thing in Mark chapter 6, verse 56. And it says, wherever he went, into villages, into towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed. Here you can see the persistency and the desperation in the hearts of the people. They're continually just saying to themselves, you know, I've got to touch him. I've got to touch him. I've got to touch him. And it was like an obsession, but it was a persistency. Even begged him, let us touch him. And when they touched him, they were healed. Now, I haven't forgotten about, we're having discipleship things here and I'm training up a group of evangelists and I haven't forgotten about you sitting over there. You'll still get up tonight. I just have to get straight into this. But the price of revival is also... I can't go on. That guy there, could you come out here? You're bugging me to tears. Yeah, you. You're not bugging me. The Holy Ghost is. I can just see the power. I don't even know you. But God's going to touch you and he's going to raise you up in power. Don't worry about anything else. Look at me in the eye. You're going to be raised up in power. You're giving up things. You're overcoming things at the moment because God's got the hand of God all over you. Now he's going to touch you with power and he's going to set you apart and you're going to go for God like you've never gone before. You hearing me? It's going to happen. Just lift your hands. Power of God, just touch him now. In Jesus' mighty name. Now you're going to go for it. Now when do you get up off the floor? When the presence of God lifts off you. I don't care if it's half an hour, 2 minutes, 2 hours. Just stay there until because you're now under God's operating table. God's imparting into your spirit in Jesus' mighty name. Well, that was good. The price of revival, the second acronym is R, it's revision. Remember, Vaughan had a word a couple of weeks ago. The Lord said to him very clearly that we had to come into a place of revision, mainly speaking about his ministry and my ministry, of revising over the things that have been taught. Many things of the anointing and things of the Spirit and apostolic Christianity need to be revised again because we've been giving a lot of meat and a lot of good stuff from the Word of God on the anointing of God and the power of God. Many of you are starting to operate in the gifts of the Spirit that haven't done so before. And we've been seeing outstanding things happening from children to adults as they're moving in the Holy Ghost. So revision, what does revision mean? Well, I looked up in the dictionary, it means improvement. It means modification. It means to polish up. It means to retrospect. In other words, to go back, to improve upon, and to give clarity to the things that have been said. It means to review. It means a good overhauling. It means a re-examination, it means an updating, and it means a reformation. So you're going back to create change. And that's the way it is. Psalm 85 verse 6 says, will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? So the whole purpose of why we need to have revision is because it leads us into revival. That's why we're calling this King's Fire International. God wants to keep on reviving us so that your people may rejoice in you. No wonder there's such exuberance in here. Last Sunday night, people were shouting so loud, not the music, the people's voices were deafening. I was up on the platform thinking, my God, I mean, the roof's going to collapse or something. It was hurting my ears, just the loudness. Now, you can't. It's called shebacking before the Lord, which means addressing the Lord in a loud tone. There's an anointing for it. Some of you, you know, you wouldn't need a microphone last Sunday night. You could have spoken to 10,000 people and they would have heard you. But in Hosea chapter 6, verse 2, and it says, after 2 days, he will revive us. And on the third day, he will restore us that we may live in his presence. Now, forget about the 2 days, the 3 days. The fact of what it's saying here is that God will revive us. And that's what he's doing in many of you. Some of you older people, even like Sal, he's 95, and he's doing great. But he was walking along a pretty miserable sort of life, really, compared to what he is now. He gets touched by God a few months ago in this revival, and he's the one that's so open to the Holy Ghost that he dances and he worships God, loves God with all his heart, just being revived to what he used to have many years ago when he first came to Christ. Well, that's what God does. He revives us. Why? So that we may live in his presence. He restores us. Why? So that we may live in his presence. That's the only reason. He wants us to live in his presence. Sin cuts us out of his presence. It stops us from feeling the tangible presence of God. And so what he's doing is getting all the junk out of our lives and so that we will be restored to live in his presence again. No wonder guys like Charles Finney, if the presence of God lifted off him for just 1 minute of any day, just 1 minute, he would start a fast and he felt the presence of God on him. Some of us are happy to have the presence of God on us from Friday to Sunday. Then it may lift off us Monday and we think, oh, well, we'll look forward to Tuesday night, School of the Spirit, or Friday. Now, you can live 24 hours a day in the tangible presence of God if we want. You see, Habakkuk 3 verse 2 says, Lord, I've heard of your speech. I was afraid. Oh, Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. This is Habakkuk saying, listen, you've done it before, God. He was having a revision thing going on in his heart. He was reminding himself of all the past revivals and said, hey, the power of God was enormous. Restore it, revive it back in our day. Amen. So if you're going to go into revision, it's for the purpose of revival. That's what it's all about. All right, then we move on to the third letter. It's I, in the word price, intoxicating. That's what it means. Revival is intoxicating. Having a chug-a-lug on the new wine of the Holy Ghost. Going up to Joel's bar and getting blottoed. There's a drink you're allowed to drink. It's called Joel's bar from Joel chapter 2. In the last days I'll pour out my spirit, says God. And we're meant to go up there and drink as much as we can and get fully intoxicated on the new wine of God. That word intoxicating means to be besotted. It means crapulent, whatever that means. It means inebriated. It means sodden. It means tipsy. I know what that means. It means to be bombed out. This is the dictionary word. It means to be highly affected by a substance that intoxicates us. To be drunk, to be fully inebriated. The world knows how to do it, but we are meant to be chugging, lugging the lot down here in this church, here in this revival. Everybody lift your hands right now and say, intoxicate me, God, on the new wine. Well, receive it now in Jesus' name. It's so simple. It's mentally or emotionally exhilarating. You keep chug-a-lugging, that's right, I'll keep talking. To affect temporarily with diminished physical and mental control by means of alcohol, liquor, a drug or other substance. And that other substance is called the Holy Ghost. Especially to excite or stupefy. Some of you look ridiculous when you're under the anointing of God. Some of you look absolutely crazy actually. But that's okay. That's what God's all about. You got up too soon. Come back out here, young man. What do you think this is, Bush Week? I'm picking on you because Holy Ghost is highlighting you. I don't think you realize how much God's going to use you. Lift your hands again. The power of God all over you, all over you. See you later in Jesus' name. Now stay down there. Thank you, Jesus. It also means, the word intoxicate means to make enthusiastically, to relate strongly as by intoxicants. It's to be exhilarated. And it also means, this word intoxicating means for the prospect of success in intoxicating somebody. for the prospect of success at intoxicating somebody. I have tremendous prospect of and success of successfully intoxicating a lot of you tonight in the Holy Ghost. I look forward to it. I live a whole week for it. It's having the power to intoxicate people. You have got it, and I've got the power tonight to intoxicate you by the living God that lives within me and giving him to you. So the more we get out of our head into the Holy Ghost, well, I said, what's revival? Well, we're seeing a little bit of it right now. Come Saturday night. This Sunday night, if you thought last Sunday night was quite incredible, you need to show up this Sunday night. I'm telling you, I'm serious. You need to invite your friends. We're going to see miracles on Sunday night. Deaf ears are going to pop open, I'm telling you now. Lung cancer is going to be, all sorts of things are going to happen. I'm not just hyping you up. You can stone me because I'm back next week if it doesn't happen. God said, start stepping out. What do you want to see? Start announcing it. This place packed out. Now bring the deaf. Also, we'll get a few people to put a screwdriver in your ear to make you deaf so we can get you healed. We won't really do that, don't worry. But what about Acts? Intoxicating. Acts 2 verse 15. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. Meaning they're drunk all right, but on the new wine. Ephesians 5 18. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Isaiah 28 verse 10 says this. Now, when I read this, you'll interpret that, you Bible teachers, as theological line upon line. It's got nothing to do with it. It's talking about things of the Spirit, learning about the anointing, learning about the realms of glory. It says this in Isaiah 28 verse 10. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Then it says, for with stammering lips and other tongues will he speak to these people. Then he goes to say, to whom he said, this is the rest you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. What's this talking about? Line upon line, precept upon precept, bringing people into the anointing of the Holy Ghost, bringing people into apostolic prophetic Christianity, bringing people, why? So that they will be refreshed. And how does he do it? Through stammering lips and other tongues. What's this talking about? It's talking about the gift of the power of the Holy Ghost in speaking in tongues. And if you haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost, you need to be. It's not a heaven and hell issue, but it certainly is stopping you from coming on to all those realms of glory. And so we need to do that. We need to come into that, here there a little. We're doing that here. Here a little, there a little. Friday night, Saturday, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Here a little, there a little. Lay hands, boom, boom. What? We're building up to seeing the glory of God. Now listen, I preached at a Flaming Women's Conference. Women's Aglow. We call them Flaming Women in Australia. And they had, I don't know, there's probably about 40, 50 ladies there. I don't know how many were there. How many were there, Diane? Seemed about that much. About 50. That was great. And there's all these ladies there, and a few men were there. They put their wives' dresses on. They looked quite all right. And they just asked me, Diane had asked me to talk on the Holy Ghost. I didn't get too far into it because I just began to talk about the Holy Ghost, and to my amazement, I didn't feel any reactions. One lady got up and walked out muttering under her breath that I was some big idiot, but I let that go. That was all right. But the rest of them seemed okay. And then to my amazement, the power of God starts hitting the place. And there's people testifying immediately of instant pain release from all sorts of things. But the interesting thing about that after was there's two or three invitations from different churches came in this area. And they all said, what, is there a revival going on at Kingston? We didn't know that. At the Vineyard Church. So I guarantee you sometime this weekend we'll start to see some of their faces. But they're saying, listen, we want you to come to our church. Can you come? I said, yep, I can come on a Saturday night, Sunday morning. You're not going to get me there Friday or Sunday night for a while until we've got people trained up to take revival, because we don't want to see this dimmer to bless others. We want to bless others and keep this fire burning. And so things are starting to happen. And I thought, it must be a lot of people. There are some churches that know about it, but I guarantee there's a lot of places around these parts that don't even know about us. These people certainly didn't, and they were amazed. They said, we would have been going to that ages ago if we'd have known about this. You see, because what we're seeing in our meetings, what God is building up in the King's Fire, was happening there at Women's Aglow. See, it doesn't bother me. I'll just take it wherever. I'm not going to suddenly change tactics because I've got a few people there who look a bit religious. I'm going to get out there, and some of those old ladies that were there, that's just Australianisms, but I'm in America, so old ladies were there. I just said to them, hey, you guys have seen great moves of God. There's one lady about 80-odd I said, you've seen a great move of God when you were young. Yes, I certainly did. Close your eyes. I want you to imagine what it was like when you were young, getting the infilling of the Holy Ghost under those great revivalists in those days. And instantly a face lit up with the glory of God and fell down. Bang. See, you got a... And the other people are saying, I wonder what it would feel like if Jesus Christ himself physically came back to you right now and it was him that was about to lay hands on you. I wonder how much faith you'd have to receive. And you could see their spirit light up. Oh, yeah, if that was Jesus. Well, I said, well, I'm not Jesus, but I'm his representative. So get it now. And those people were getting healed. I thought, wow, that's an interesting way to do it. Bring Jesus alive. Because we just see Jesus as, well, he's in heaven. Yes, he is. But his power and glory is here through us. And we've got to get people into their imaginations. Because if you can get people to see it, if you can get them to see themselves getting healed, see them getting filled with the glory of God, it'll happen every single time. No doubt about it. All right. In other words, it's through the power of the Holy Ghost that revival will be poured out to bring rest and refreshing to all, because that's what it says. Line upon line, precept upon precept, through stammering lips and other tongues I'll speak, and what will be the results? The weary will get restful, and this is the refreshing. But in that case, it's that they wouldn't hear. And there'll be some, unfortunately, that won't hear. Don't worry about them. Keep loving and praying for them. Worry about all the ones and minister to the ones that are receiving it for the glory of God and believing that the others will catch up. That's what we've got to do. All right. The second last acronym, C, is compassion. If we're going to see the price of revival is compassion. Matthew 9:36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they're harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. This is Jesus. He had compassion. I believe that the Lord spoke to Vaughan some time ago and said the next great wave of the Spirit will be a baptism of love. And that's why I was singing about that tonight. When Wendy got up and started talking about the river of God, I actually sung out what I saw in a vision, because I've been into the river of life. I've been to the throne of grace, and I was just singing it out just to reemphasize what had been said in the prophecy. And, you know, but one thing that really hit me tonight was the baptism of love. I know a lot about the power of God. I know a lot about his glory, but I've never given myself to the love of God. And last Sunday morning, that was the most, everybody said that's the best they'd ever heard me preach. I spoke on the last days that the spirit of Elijah was going to come and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children of the fathers. And there was that many broken people out here who were just getting healed up. People who are in their second marriages, whatever, third marriages, whatever, and they're taking on dysfunctional families. And I gave that illustration of Jesus on the cross and Mary, the mother of Jesus, is standing there and John, the disciple. And Jesus, in all his agony, cares for his mother and says, Mother, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. And it says, from that night, that disciple whom Jesus loved, which was John, took the Mary, the mother of Jesus, into his home as her own. So there is no dysfunction in the kingdom of God. That when you get married, those stepchildren become your children. I know there's complications where they've still got to have a relationship with their real dad and blah, blah, blah. But in Christ, the love can cover all that. And we got a belief for that. There's a beautiful healing here. It wasn't an anointing that I'm familiar with. It wasn't an anointing that I'd go for. But I know I've got to start opening myself up to the love of God, because I know the next wave coming is going to be signs and wonders and miracles through the love of God. His power will still be here, but it'll be different, I'm telling you. I know it. So I'm trying to get my spirit prepared for it, because I've never given myself to that. I've given myself a 40-day fast to the glory realm. And you might say, well, it's all the same thing. It's not really. You can go for the glory and yet not know too much about the love of the Father. We've got to get to know the love of the Father in this revival, because it goes along with what Vaughan was saying. He wasn't just giving announcements, him and Wendy then. Even when he's just trying to be a pastor, he's prophesying. You know, he's talking about all the people coming in. Are we going to love them with their sin? It's exactly what I said last Sunday night. They're not just going to come in squeaky clean. What would we do if we see a couple of lesbians walking here holding hands? What would we do if we saw a couple of guys doing that? Get out of this church or stop holding hands? Or is the love of God going to come? I mean, I don't talk about letting people sin in the meeting, but they're coming in. They're going to come with all their warts and all, guys. The love of God. How many of us could reach out to them and love them? Now, if they're still doing that 5 weeks later, understandably, somebody's got to have a talk to them in a nice way, you know. But the thing is this, we've got to give people time to change. That's the point I'm trying to make. But most people like that wouldn't dare come into church doing that anyway. But you could tell their lifestyle by the way they act. But we gotta be open to these sort of people, because there's a lot of them around here. And they'll come in once they know that we'll love them. And I'm telling you, in this sort of revival, they'll change within a matter of weeks. They'll start to get convicted. And if they don't, they won't be able to stay. Not because we'll kick them out. The Spirit of God will be too convicting upon them. But that compassion, you see, Matthew 14:14 says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion upon them and healed their sick. See, he saw a large crowd, had compassion upon them. You see, compassion sets the miracle in motion. There's a lot of reasons why we don't see great signs and wonders, but I think one of them is not too many of us know how to minister the healing power. I'm just learning it now, right at the beginning of it. How to minister the power of God, the healing power, in love. Doesn't mean you sit there smiling at somebody, but you know, I'm going to love you. No, it's an action from heart. Imagine Vaughan doing that. No, I couldn't. No, he's British. But you know, and I'm an Aussie. But you know, but ministering out of the love of God is deeply caring for that person and the pain they're in. Ministering out of that triggers off the miracle emotion. It really does. It begins to trigger it off. And once it triggers off, there's no telling what could happen, because that's just the way it is. A miracle in motion. That's not my saying. I heard it somewhere. Miracle in motion. Miracles could be in motion tonight. Have you got your faith open for it? Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Well, I'm preaching the word of God, and we need to understand that God will do it. He will really do it. You, come. Sorry, I don't know your name. You look like him. Is he your brother? You're another one. God is changing your life, man. You got a tremendous call of God. I can see the glory. I can see it on your head. There it goes. Now, it's going right through you. Oh, it's so easy when you see it. Glory, glory, glory. Now stay there until the presence of God lifts off you. Right. We're almost finished. I mean, it's only quarter. Oh, we got stacks of time. This is going to be good. All right. Enthusiasm. That's the last one. Price of revival is enthusiasm. You know, part of God's word, what's the name in the Greek? Do you know? Ethios or something? It means the God of enthusiasm. You know, that's where the Greek word comes from, enthusiasm, from God. It means fervor, fire, passion, and zeal, which the Holy Ghost puts in us. The dictionary says any of various forms of extreme religious devotion, usually associated with intense emotionalism and a break with orthodoxy, which means with a break with religion. There's intense emotion. Don't be scared of emotion. When somebody falls under the power of God, shaking, that's God touching our soul, our emotions. When we feel the dance up and down, it's us dancing up and down because God is touching our emotions. There's nothing wrong with that. But, oh, that's the flesh, brother. What a bunch of junk. The flesh is when you're committing sin in your thought life or inaction or what's so. It's not sinning just to jump up and down. Oh, he's dancing in the spirit. No, I'm not. I'm just dancing up and down because I'm an idiot. No, because of God. And we need to understand that a lot of things that we got to change our terminology, by the way. People fall under the power of God. Why do they fall under the power of God? Because they open up their heart and their mind and emotions and that power of that knocks them down. It's an emotional response to God. Like you'd have an emotional reaction if you stuck your hand in a live electric light socket. You wouldn't go, oh, wonderful feeling, glorious. Ah! Watch rugby with Vaughan and you'll see his emotions. There's nothing wrong with that. Go with Tony to a baseball match and you'll see his emotions. I'm going with him soon and I will see this little wild Italian go berserker. I'm amazed. I used to love going to the real football, AFL, Australian Rules Football in Australia, England. They don't have it there. Australia. That's why they call it Australian Rules, because it's in Australia. And I used to sit there with sometimes 50 or depending on the biggest stadiums, Melbourne Stadium, 100,000 people there, or 90,000 people. And when somebody they like on their team kicks the winning goal, they just don't get up and go, oh, goody, what a wonderful shot. They go berserk. And sometimes in Australia, the opposing side, you're not allowed to sit in the same area. They've all got different sections because brawls come. I once sat with Port Power, which is Adelaide, and I can't stand them, and the other team is Adelaide Crows. Now, I once sat in Port Power and said, go the Crows! And I was in the Port Power section. And I nearly, I'm sure it's because of my size, I would have got beaten up. The looks I got, F language at me. And I thought, what's the matter with them? I was sitting next to my friend Tim Wall. What's the matter with these guys? We're sitting in Port Power section. You just don't do it. Because someone will come up and job you. Why? Because you shouldn't be sitting in there. We just went in the wrong place. I thought, wow. So we all show emotion, but when we come to church and revival, oh, I don't know about all this. Let him touch you. If you scream, if you yell, or if you just fall shaking under the power, or you fall quietly, who cares? Just let God touch you. Because if he can emotionally get you, he wants to get you in spirit, soul, and body. And you know, so in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 17, it says, for Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. Imagine having a guest ministry coming to you or a part of the apostolic team, and they're coming to your church with much enthusiasm. Not hyped up emotionalism, but enthusiasm, which is born out of the Spirit. And you're coming and you're actually believing what you're saying. So some of you guys who I'm training up in the discipleship school, don't get up here and just talk, you know, be yourself. You might just be very quiet, but be quietly zealous. You got something to say, say it. Then sit down and shut up. Like I should. Yes. That's the price of revival. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 2. For I know your eagerness to help, and I've been boasting about it to the Macedonians. Tell them that since last year, you in Asia were ready to give. And your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. Wow, that's amazing. Your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. This was taking up love offerings on behalf of the needs of their day. Church of Macedonia, the most poverty-stricken church, was stirred to action. Spirit of grace of giving was upon them. But enthusiasm brought them into that. Enthusiasm. That's why when we come to these meetings, we should be enthusiastic to get down the front here and start to worship God. Amen. You know, even if a song we're not familiar with, or even if the band isn't quite hitting it one night because it's hard to hit it every night, yeah, just get into it. Because that action will release the power of God eventually if it's not already there. Amen. It will. And so we just got to have this faith. This is what revival's all about. Let's not go back to some boring ritualistic thing. Drive me out the crackers and drive you. There's no way we can go back now. There's no way you can go back to what you were like 4 or 5 months ago. There's no way I could. I've been changed a lot too. And so God is a very, very awesome, powerful God. My God, in Jesus' mighty name.